Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Developing healthy visual motor skills is more difficult in our increasingly technical world. Joining us to shed some light on this important subject are Dr. Rebecca Hutchins, a behavioral optometrist, and Lois Hickman, an occupational therapist. Today we will be talking about their wonderful book, Eye Games, Easy and Fun Visual Exercises, an OT and an optometrist offer activities to improve vision. Dr. Hutchins is a behavioral optometrist who has been in practice in the Boulder, Colorado area since 1984. She speaks and consults frequently on the behavioral aspects of vision, cortical visual impairment, vision deficits in the gifted and twice exceptional, and evaluation and treatment of visual, I'm going to try this word, gals, sequelae after mild traumatic brain injury. And Lois Hickman is an occupational therapist who is practicing in the Boulder, Colorado area since 1972. She has practiced in both hospital and clinical settings and has lectured nationally and internationally on sensory integration, the utilization of music and story in occupational therapy, and the application of occupational therapy in therapeutic horseback riding. Lois and Becky, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Well, thanks for having us.
I'm so glad to have you both on the show. Now, first of all, I just want to say I'm jealous because I've heard Boulder, Colorado is absolutely spectacular.
It definitely is.
And today's a beautiful day.
Oh, boy, that sounds really nice. Well, I just want to say I really enjoyed your book. I actually have a twice exceptional gal, and we can talk about that in a little bit if people don't know what that is. But, you know, in the introduction to your book, Eye Games, Easy and Fun Visual Exercises, you write, quote, "The development of healthy visual perception requires two basic elements." What are these elements? And whichever one of you would like to start.
Well, for one thing, we definitely need light. And I feel another thing that's really necessary is connecting all of the senses, because as human beings who evolved on a planet that's governed by gravity, that has all sorts of information to give to us through our tactile sense, our visual sense, our movement sense, then unless we, in a very natural way, integrate these things, then vision really can't develop normally.
Yes, and we really talked about light, and I think it's interesting because light we kind of take for granted, and I'm very interested, as you can tell in one of the little sections in the back of the book, in circadian rhythms. I've learned a lot more about that recently, and circadian rhythms are dependent not only upon light, but also upon dark. We have to have the dark to kind of zero the ground, and then we have to have the light. So human beings need both dark and light. We need a balance. And just like that, we need a balance and we need an integration of all of the different senses.
And you can just see in newborn babies how they're fascinated by patterns. I remember my daughter, she was a baby, fascinated by a paisley quilt. they're fascinated by the patterns of faces. But for that to happen, there has to be light and there has to be dark. Or else it's no pattern.
You mentioned actually the common ground that vision therapists and occupational therapists recognize. And it sounds like part of it is the light and the circadian rhythms. If you can tell us a bit more.
Often, Becky will see a child and say, oh, they need OT first. Or I'll see a child and I will say, I think you're ready for the work that Becky does. But underlying vision, I will often see that it's because they have a problem because their sense of balance, their sense of movement, their tactile sense just is not integrating well. And before they can be ready for more sophisticated visual therapy, they need to have the underlying integration together much better.
So, oh, I see.
So we'll see those basic underpinnings weak. And so Becky will say, Lois, I think this child needs you first. And then let me know when he's ready for me.
Yes, actually, this is interesting. I had a child that I saw last week, and yesterday I had the mother ask me to let the school know. And this child was one that, a very, very bright child, by the way. I would call him twice exceptional. Referred to me by a gifted person who evaluates gifted. He couldn't sit up in the chair. He had no, Lois could probably explain this better, but I mean, he would, in my chair, you know, the chair that goes up and down, the fun one, and then, you know, you'd ask him to sit up. He just did not have postural stability, and he didn't have good gross motor control. Well, obviously, the visual system is fine motor. If the child does not have gross motor control, that's a lower level skill. So I need them to have that before they can move on up. So I frequently will suggest OT prior to VT.
Oh, that's interesting, because my daughter, who's twice exceptional, and that's gifted and also has some other issues going on, she's six, and she can't skip. And she tries, but she has a really hard time, and then forget about handwriting. But that's really common with gifted kids. And I'm sure you've seen that. And so it's nice to know for myself and other folks listening, of course, that she needs the OT first. Now, she did do OT to work on her gravitational insecurity, which I had when I was growing up as well.
Handwriting, because my son, has very poor handwriting. He is in it in first year of college. But I will say that I am seeing, personally, and Lois can speak to this too, I am seeing many more twice exceptional kids with handwriting deficits now than I ever had before. And handwriting is a combination of visual and motor. So sometimes you need to work for both ways.
Okay. And I think that children's lives are much different now. We used to, when children were little, work on fine motor activities.
They play finger games.
Yes, and they learned how to finger knit. There were all sorts of things that they did that were fine motor, that were precursors to writing. And I think sometimes we also divorce mind from body. And when I'm doing occupational therapy, I'm very cognizant of how bright a child may be, exactly what needs they have intellectually. I use story, I use song, I use movement, so that I'm constantly weaving body and mind together, so that it isn't just practicing one thing. Everything, it's a constant flow of body, mind, heart.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Movement, it takes rhythm. There's a rhythm situation that Lois is a musician. And when we work in vision, we also work with rhythm and movement. And the visual system is dependent upon movement. We cannot learn without movement. In fact, if the eye is totally still, it actually can't see. It has to make micro movements. So movement is key.
Sitting and watching television or playing with computer games does the exact opposite. And I also need to mention that the ocular muscles are the same sort of muscles that triceps, biceps, gluteal muscles, the big postural muscles of the body are. So when you're working on movement and stability, you're also stimulating the visual muscles.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, now, all one beautiful tapestry.
Now, another thing I'm wondering, and again, I keep going back to myself because I have a lot of personal experience with the twice exceptional child, is that she loves books more than anything, but she is really adamant about not wanting to learn to read. And I'm wondering if she's probably having some trouble. Is that something you see?
Yes, definitely. And I really, there's a lot of talk within my field with behavioral optometrists about the fact that a child is ready to read when they're ready to read.
Yes.
And not before.
And we haven't pushed her, by the way. I'm just curious. I was just, because she loves books so much, we were just surprised, you know.
It's called Is Sooner Better, that I wrote. And it talks about not forcing kids to do reading and writing too soon. And I think that the visual system is very specific. And if a child is real interested, I usually have having them be read to or making their own stories. Visualization is very, very important for the visual system. And before they can read and understand and comprehend well, they need to be able to make pictures in their mind so that they can take the information on the page and really embody it.
Yeah, I think I've always had trouble with that, and I have a feeling that she has trouble with that, and I'm sure some of our listeners have, you know, can relate to this as well, that you might have a really bright kid, but that there are certain things that are definitely challenging for them, and that I think that, you know, we're going to start doing some of these eye games because I think it's so important. And if you could, you know, you mentioned you have a lot of really great eye games in here. You know, you have different categories like foundation activities, eye movement activities, visualization activity, which you were just talking about, the importance of visualization, and eye body and eye hand coordination. If you could just mention a few of your favorites. And
tell you one when you talked about having trouble with visualization, and I'll tell you, I'm almost sure this is in here, but I'll tell you it anyhow. And yes, it is. It's on page 64. It's called My Ape Is. Now, I have to tell you this because this is really funny. My son, as I said, just started college, and we had several of his friends over one night, and we were having dinner. And I was, for some reason, I started talking about this activity. And they sat there, all of them, with my husband and I, and we played this through the entire alphabet. And we played it in this way. We said, I said, the first person was not me. He said, my ape is athletic. And the second person said, my bird is brown. And the third person said, my cat is cuddly. But each person had to say all three, so my all in a row. We went through the entire alphabet, and some people had much more trouble than others in remembering all those alliterative nouns and adjectives throughout the alphabet, but it is a very good way to lay the basis for visualization.
Oh, wow. That sounds hard.
But fun.
But, oh, my God, yes, definitely.
And they talked about it. My son said they talked about it for a long time afterwards.
Yeah, and it should be fun. It should be just challenging enough, which is what Jean Ayers used to say, just the right challenge. I want to say one thing that isn't in the book because it happened after we wrote it, but a child came to me who had been practicing handwriting and was so depressed because things were not getting better, and he had a personal tutor. So he came to the farm, and I made him my official sign maker for the farm.
Oh,
his signs are all over the farm. His handwriting will never be perfect, but it took away the fear. So he's got signs for the bunnies, signs for the chickens, signs for everything, and he's personally signed them and painted them. He went back to school the next fall, and the principal asked, what happened to this child? He's so excited. He's so happy. And all that happened was we took away the fear of the handwriting. He was given a job that was very important. I told him when he grows up, he can still come back and see those signs. So the approach, it really matters if it's fun and if it's functional, if it's important.
So if you combine the occupational therapy with the vision therapy, that could be working on the large motor skills, the fine motor skills, the reading skills.
Self-esteem.
Yeah, that's terrific. And again, you said that sometimes you're ready to start one before the other. Can you give us a situation? You mentioned when you would do OT first, but what's a situation where you might do vision therapy first and then OT?
I don't know if they're ready for vision therapy if they need OT.
Because
at that point they might have all the basics integrated well.
And sometimes I will see a child that I'll do some vision therapy with, and we'll get to a certain point where, you know, developmentally, they are not quite where I would want them to be, and they will need more sensory modulation, because I think that's a thing that we really see more and more nowadays, especially with our twice exceptionals. They cannot handle certain fabrics. They want to wear sweats instead of jeans. They don't like their hair washed. That's the kind of thing where I'm going to refer, if I see them in VT, and we're getting through VT, and then they still have those issues, then I'm going to refer them, or primitive reflexes that I see that are not integrated. That's when I would refer. And the one thing I do want to make clear, or else I'm going to be in trouble with my profession, is that the information in the book is not vision therapy. It's basically activities to teach a child to visually engage in the world. Vision therapy is done under the auspices of a doctor, and we use lenses and prisms, and some of the activities in here are things that we might do in vision therapy, but they're not vision therapy per se.
And that's true, too, of the activities that I've suggested.
Okay.
And we tried to be clear about, be sure that you consult with a professional, especially when you're doing activities that involve a lot of movement.
Mm-hmm.
But you really need to be consulting with a professional to be sure that the activities you're using are appropriate for that specific child.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense completely. Now, is there a website for people? Because obviously I would love to bring my daughter to you, but I'm in the Boston area. Now, if you ever decide to come out, we would love to see you here. And is there a website that for people who are all over the country to find OTs and who specialize working with children with sensory issues, and also optometrists who do the same?
I mean
the vision therapists.
Yeah, the optometric website, which you could find an optometrist who does vision therapy, is www.c as in college, o as in optometrist, v as in vision development.org, www.covd.org.
Okay.
The OT website is American Occupational Therapy Associates.
Okay.
And they don't have a website. They have a 800 number.
But I think if you go onto the internet and you just type in sensory integration or sensory processing, you're going to find a plethora of places to go. There's also, if you go to Sensory World, of course, and go info@sensoryworld.com, you're going to find all sorts of good information.
And then you can get the book through that, too. The book is from FH Autism, but you can get there through sensoryworld.com.
Great. And do you have individual sites at all that you'd like to share?
Well, I can share a website that's very dear to my heart. And it's because I also am concerned about connecting children with animals and with nature. I have a website for a nonprofit that's called animalsandpeopletogether.org. So I think that people could find a little bit more about that connection of getting children together with nature for a more natural developmental process.
Oh, I'd love to have you on to talk about that. We'll have to talk about that after the show. That would be fantastic. Well, I want to thank you both so much. iGames Easy and Fun Visual Exercises, an OT and optometrist, offer activities to improve vision. Lois Hickman and Rebecca E. Hutchins, I want to thank you both so much for coming on It's Your Health, and people can learn more at itsyourhealthnetwork.com. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.